could the wild hunter Wayne you say and tap at the shop?
Well, once more, I'm going to tell the story out. Now, I'm not a religious man myself. And I hope you're not either. I don't know. What I'm trying to say, I hope you don't mind anybody's religion. I don't care what religion anybody is. I take people as I find them. You're never going to a pub and say, I want a pint of Catholic drink, with you? Or a pint of Protestant drink. I'm going to tell the story about the Catholic and the Protestant once more. Now, I hope for the people who heard this before, I hope you don't mind me telling it again for the people who didn't hear it. Do you mind?
No.
Good. In a remote area where I was born, of course, this was long before my time or my mother's time or my father's time, there was a community of so-called good-living Catholics. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But at least they professed they were, and that's good enough. But there was one solitary, lonely Protestant. And he wasn't lonely either. But he had the best job in the place. He had a beautiful church, like Connemara marble and Limerick limestone. But he had only himself in the church on a Saturday, whatever day he does his sermons, and he was talking to the four empty walls every day, every week. But he was getting his salary, and that counted. And he was afraid the time the bishop came around, he might fire him, but having no audience. So the Catholics liked him so much that every time the bishop who was over him came around, they went out and they roared like good Protestants. So he was kept in the place. Now he had another terrible problem. He was getting on in years and he was getting a bit angry with himself. He wanted to get married and there was nobody in sight that he could marry. No woman would change her religion to his, and he wouldn't move either. But desperation being what it is, he was getting awful frustrated in the end, and there was a man next door who had three fine lumps of daughters. That's the way they used to say a good girl long ago. She's a fine lump of a girl. That means she was healthy and able to do the job. And he asked one of the neighbors, what's the best way to approach this problem? Well, he said, I'll tell you. Do you have anybody in mind? Oh, he said, I do. There's a big girl next door, he said, I like. Mary is called her name. Go out, he said, and get a four-leaf clover. And when you go into bed at night, put the four-leaf clover under your pillow. And if you're dreaming of something at night, and make sure that you hope you'll be dreaming of the lump next door. If there's one leaf after clover in the morning, but the other's on it, you're all right. That's one third of your dream come true. Three nights in a row, if you have the same dream, three leaves fall after clover, but the last leaf stays on, then your dream will come true. So I went out and got the loveliest bit of four-leaf clover you ever saw in your life. And he went in and made the bed and made the pillow nice and soft and placed the clover under it and put his head down nice and gently on the on the pillow. And wasn't he dreaming of Mary next door? And he woke in the morning and he couldn't wait to look under the pillow and there was one leaf after clover. So he never even told the mirror about this, but he made the bed again the second night. And he put the clover back in, and he had the same dream about Mary. The second leaf was after clover. And he just made the bed there and then and crept back into it in the middle of the day. And he had the same dream that night about Mary, and he woke up at 4 a.m, and out he went, he put on a trouser next door, and he called up to the man next door. Now, the man next door wasn't the best neighbor in the world. But to be called up at 4 a.m. and be called up by a Protestant was something else. What the hell is a Protestant like you doing outside my door, he says this morning. I want to marry Mary, he says. How would my dead Marty say, would she marry a Protestant? I said, I'm thinking of changing my religion. But that was a different story, and Mary was called on the scene, and you know when somebody gets out of bed in the morning, Yeah, scratching the head. And somebody told him to do this too. And in the old countryside, you didn't walk up to a girl and say, "Will you marry me?" That's not a nice way of saying anything to anybody. It's a terrible thing to be said, no. There's a way around that. And he threw himself down on his two knees. And he said to Mary, "How would you like to be buried with my people?" Just in case you didn't understand that, I buried with my people. They got married, they lived together happily ever after till they were dead. And because she took a surname, they were buried together. That's the way of asking a girl to marry you. And he took instructions. Now, this was during Lent. Lent was coming on the scene very soon. And it was a terrible martial sin to eat meat at any time in Ireland on a Friday. During Lent was a 50 times martial sin. And he took instructions, and the priest told him, "Why don't you wait," he said, "till after Lent?" "I must get married," he said. He was that desperate. "You can marry on St. Patrick's Day during Lent, you know." And that's why he decided to get married. And he got married on St. Patrick's Day. He couldn't wait any longer. St. Patrick's Day fell on a Monday. And on Friday, when he came down to breakfast, he said to Mary, "I don't feel like a Catholic anymore. I want a Protestant breakfast." Imagine on Friday during Lent. "What do you?" "I want bacon and eggs." "The egg," she said, "you can get, but the bacon you can't." The egg was bad enough during Lent that time. But he said, "I don't want to be married anymore. I don't want to be Catholic. I want to go back to my own way of living." She said, "Why don't you go to Father John and ask him what you could do in this?" So he went to the priest, and of course the priest could solve all problems except their own. And he said to John, he said, "Go home. And everything you do, every time you do it, keep saying to yourself, I'm a Catholic, not a Protestant. I'm a Catholic, not a Protestant." And you'll find out after a while, you'll believe it yourself. John went home, but apparently it didn't work. Because next Friday, which was our all days Good Friday, which is even worse again to eat meat, the priest was passing the door, and the whiff he got coming out of that chimney should never come out of a Catholic house on a Friday. Somebody was frying steak. And he ran to the door, and poor Mary was crying her eyes out in the door. "Where is John?" he said. "John is in the kitchen," she said, "cooking his own dinner." And the priest ran in, very angry. And there was John with a big pan in his left hand, and a big ladle with a spoon in his right hand. And he whistling and saying to himself, "I'm a Catholic," pouring the gravy over the steak. "I'm a Catholic, not a Protestant. I'm a Catholic, not a Protestant." And then he didn't let down. He saw the queer fellow behind him at all. He turned the steak over. "I'm a Catholic, not a Protestant. You're a fish, not a steak. You're a That's a true story now. There is. Now I think maybe we're. Now what I'd like to do, I'd like to sing a song with you. Would you join me in the song?
Tens gotan the hoit alskan the hidden guide is a bide hon join you. Don't have the shuffle hope yard. The cost got the outside, I said, Skype to come here.